Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Our prayer time this morning was rich, and I want to encourage our church family that this would be a house of prayer, and for our church family to come and to spend time in prayer before the service. We do this each Sunday morning, 9:45 to 10:15, and these 30 minutes are very impactful. They're kind of a big deal, and we're kind of basing what we are doing in our church off of this prayer time. We're listening to the Holy Spirit, and God's talking to us, and Joe had mentioned today, I feel so much more connected to people that I labor in prayer together. There's something gelling about our spirits when they're together like that. And so the power of prayer, and I just want to encourage you, be a part. Come out at 9:45, especially as we launch into this new year with a focus on prayer and fasting. I'm going to dive into that more this morning as we talk about prayer and fasting. But this time at 9:45 would be absolutely powerful and awesome. Pastor Andrew, do you still have the microphone? I would like Coach Small just to pray. I'm just going to pray a blessing upon this word that's about to come and also about this new year and new season that we're about to walk into. So let's all just join in prayer here.
So precious God, we're just come to you today, Lord, and we're just so thankful, God, just that we've survived another year, but God, hopefully we further your kingdom. So, Father, we just pray, God, as this new year starts, as today, as Todd said, God, just help us to be everywhere, Lord. Just let your thoughts be our thoughts. God, let your words be our words. Let your actions be our actions, Lord. God, just help us to make a difference, Lord. Just help us to draw more people to your kingdom, Lord, just to let them know how good, how wonderful, and God, just what an intimate relationship with you looks like, God, that you can just fill us with your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we just pray this. Keep our hearts and our minds focused this year on you, not just for us a period of 10 days, God, but for each and every day, not just for the first month, Lord, but for all the months, Lord. And from this day forward, just let us be a different church. Let us be a different disciple of yours, God, that we would just reach out. Father, I pray for a spirit of boldness, God, that people would just become bold and just speaking out, Lord, and just sharing what you've done in their life, God, that not necessarily preaching at, but just sharing how wonderful you have been in our life. So, Father, I'm thankful for, God, that you brought us to this church, Lord. I'm thankful for everyone in here, Lord, that they love you with all their hearts, God, and just pray that that would just be expanded upon this coming year, Lord. Just pray a blessing, Lord, on each and every family here, Lord. Keep us healthy. Keep us safe. Lord, just help us to increase our relationship with you, Lord. Let us know you better at the end of the year. Let us be closer, God, that we can hear you whisper, Lord, just whatever it is you want us to do it. So, Father, we're thankful for all things, and in your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Coach. Based upon looking at our crowd, we see who are the ones that were in bed by 10 o'clock last night. 9:45. With about 3 minutes to go, my kids woke me up and said, Dad, we got to do a countdown. And so I just looked up on YouTube a 10-second countdown, and that was our ball drop. That's how we brought in the new year, wiped out, but looking forward to a brand new year. As we're looking into this new year, we as a church are going to embark on a 10-day Daniel fast. It's going to begin January the 9th. And go through January the 18th. Those 10 days, we are going to have a focused time of fasting. I'm going to lay out a few of just kind of the boundaries and the guidelines that's just going to really help give some banks to this river so that it can flow and move at a good pace. Also, each morning here at the church, beginning at 6 a.m., we will have prayer. And so if you're able to join us at 6 a.m. before you head off to work or before you are maybe, I don't know, taking the kids to school, whatever those, if you're able to swing it and you're able to get here from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., for those 10 days, we also are going to be having prayer going on here at the church, here in the sanctuary. And it will be an hour. And you're thinking, man, I got to be out of here by 7. I got to go to work. Whatever those little things are. Or I can only come for 30 minutes, and then I've got to take off for work. But however it is, let's say that perhaps you travel with your work, and you're like, man, I just can't be here at 6 o'clock. Or you're like, 6? Like, I've already got 2 hours of work in by then. What are you talking about? 6. Then at 6, just be mindful. Hey, this is what's going on. Our church family, that we're in prayer, and that I want to just kind of move my heart into a heart of prayer, and maybe even have some time of prayer, even while you're at work, during that time, okay? So that is the 9th through the 18th. As we dive into this topic on fasting, I believe that fasting is one of the most spiritual, important spiritual disciplines, and yet it is one of the disciplines that I hate the most. Because it requires the best of me, and usually it gets the worst of me. It really needs me zeroed in and locked in, and I just want to whine and cry the whole time. It fleshes out. It brings kind of the dross. It burns the dross up to the top, and it's not always awesome. You want to really know and check your spiritual disciplines and your joy level? Go without that cheeseburger. And you'll just get ticked off. And now all of a sudden you're just frustrated and you're like, skip a meal? Skip 10 days of meals? Like, you gotta be asinine. No way am I gonna do that. And as we kind of dive into this scripture here today, I wanna lay out a little bit and maybe take off some of the fear and trepidation of doing an extended fast. More than just an intermittent fast where you might fast for 12 or 18 hours. This is going after it for a week and a half. Yet, in the Daniel fast, there are still a lot of foods that we're able to eat. Perhaps for some people, they're like, well, sign me out from doing this because of my health reasons, or because of my blood sugar, or because of whatever. I have to have some sort of a substance inside of my body. This was passed out to you whenever you walked in this morning. Hopefully everyone got one. If you have not, we'll make sure that we get one to you. But it says foods that you can eat on the Daniel fast. You flip it over on the other side, foods to avoid while you're on the Daniel fast. So foods that you can eat, there's whole grains, beans, nuts, seeds, vegetables, fruits, different oils. It talks about the different kinds of beverages that we can have. Foods to avoid, animal products, added sugar, yeast, refined grains, processed foods, deep fried foods. That one ticks me off. Solid fats, chocolate, caffeinated or alcoholic drinks. And so these are just a really good guideline for us as we dive in. You're thinking, oh wow, I didn't realize that I can actually eat that much different food while fasting. This isn't a complete fast. This isn't just a water-only sort of a fast. There's a lot of food that you can eat while you are doing this Daniel fast. So we want to dive in here, and as we look at a new year and a new you, we want to see, man, would God want us to have a focused fasting, ferociously faithful sort of commitment toward Him? That He would put an edge on our spirit and say, Jesus, I want You more than I want this pizza, I want You. Jesus, more than I want this bread, I want a breakthrough, I need You. And so we're pushing off legitimate needs. This isn't just the extras of, okay, I'll just not have pizza for 10 days. No, I need food, we need substance. And saying, what I need more than this meal is I need a breakthrough from God. And so God, I'm going to, as a living sacrifice, I'm going to give You a sacrificial offering this morning. And here's what I want to see is us do a fast forward, where we go fast forward into a new year. By fasting, we're saying, Jesus, there's a new me that I'm ready for it to finally come fully alive. We're going to be in this scripture in Daniel chapter 1 this morning. And if you are using the Bible in front of you in your seat back, that's page 625. We'll also have the scriptures up here. Daniel chapter 1. During this time, here's what's happening, okay? Daniel, they were taken by siege by King Nebuchadnezzar. He spent his entire life underneath this reign and rule of Nebuchadnezzar and his sons. Daniel saw the rise and the reign and ultimately the ruin of this monarchy. Daniel is taken whenever this new regime comes in. He's taken basically in a form of human trafficking. He's stolen from his family. He's moved into a new family, and he's going to be completely trained and discipled, mentally shifted and shaped into the language of the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, and it's they're going to do something totally different inside of Daniel's life. So we read here in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1, it said, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he came to Jerusalem and he besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and he put them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of the court officials, to bring into the king's service some of these Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assured them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the service of the king. Check out just what's happening in a little bit, and if I can compare it to what's going on in our day and age. These young men were taken from their families. They are then put into a new kingdom, and they are totally isolated. They no longer have mom and dad that are sitting down with them at dinner. They no longer have mom and dad going over homework with them. They no longer have mom and dad that are teaching them the way of the one true God, the Israelite God. And they are completely taken outside of that context. They're isolated. And how many of y'all know bad things grow in isolation? And so they're taken away from their authority, from their protection, from those that love them most. And now they are in isolation. And once they're in isolation, they move into indoctrination. And now they're going to get shifted. Their minds are going to be told something else and something new. Anybody see in our educational system today that our kids went through some isolation? And also there's a message that perhaps you're not always fired up about that your kids are getting in the school systems today, that there is, what are you talking about and what is being taught and told these kids? Or I'll tell you, my kids learn more things on the school bus than I knew by the time I got to college. I'm like, how did you know that stuff? They're getting taught and trained. Whenever they're away from their parents, they are learning something that's totally different, right? And so he's learning something that's totally different. For 3 years, he's going into this intense training, and it seems like, wow, this is awesome, like free education, and the government's going to pay for my college. How cool is this? And I get to learn language and literature and all of this really cool stuff in books and in life. Like, this just sounds awesome. I don't know if y'all have been, like, tuned into higher education, but higher education is not conducive for spiritual growth. That was a really good sentence right there. Higher education is not one and the same. It's not conducive for the spirit man to grow and to come alive. So our kids, they're gone. They're away from their parents, and they're totally out of the covering of who their family are, and they're getting indoctrinated. And we think that this is a good thing because I'm getting a free education that the government's paying for. This is a really nice, cool thing, right? And not only that, but I get to dine at the king's table. And the king has the best prime rib. He's got unbelievable fillets. And man, have you seen the chicken wings that guy has? I mean, they are drumsticks. I mean, it's unbelievable the kind of food that he has. And if anybody has the finest wine on the planet, it's the king of Babylon. Are you kidding me? And we have access to all of this. I'm a young buck. Like, I'm just hanging out at college, and I get free food and free wine. Heck yeah, sign me up all day. And we see that Daniel had a different approach to everything that was going on in the world around him. Verse 6, it says, among those who were chosen were some from Judah. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Their Hebrew names, which they had received, they received their Hebrew name at circumcision. Their Hebrew name carried weight and carried significance. It had something before God. So in Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means the grace of the Lord. Mishael means he that is the strong God. Azariah means the Lord is my help. And to try to make them forget who their God is, they change their names. They want to re-identify them. Let's re-identify as something else. Let's identify and partner who we are and who our makeup is in something totally different than what God originally named us. Can we forget the God of our youth? And can we go in a different direction and go down this Chaldean, Babylonian idolatry? And so evil is trying to hijack their identity. It's trying to redefine them. It's trying to confuse their identity. And they head off to a different kingdom. Under a different power, a different authority, they head off to college, and they get a completely different identity going on. Belshazzar signifies the keeper of the hidden treasures. It means Bel will be the keeper of the hidden treasure. Shadrach means this, the inspiration of the sun, which the Chaldeans worshipped the sun. Meshach was of the goddess Shach, under the name which Venus was worshipped. Abednego, the servant of the shiny fire, which they would also worship fire. Trying to shift these young men and their identity at an early age. We keep going here in verse 8. It says, but Daniel resolved. Everybody say resolved. Resolved. When you make a resolution means I've made a decision that is non-negotiable. I've resolved. It's settled. It's fixed. It's not up for debate. I'm not going to negotiate with the enemy on this one. I've made a resolution. A New Year's resolution. I've made a decision that it is resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Why would this be such a defilement to eat the king's steak or to drink the king's wine? Because the king of Babylon would take their meals and they would take them and offer them to their gods first. And so this was a meal that was taken and it was separated. This was their holy moment to separate it and to offer it to a God that was not the one true God. And so Daniel sees this and he sees what's going on. He's like, oh my gosh, do I want that T-bone? Oh, does that look so good? I love a T-bone. And my dog just loves the bone. And I want that. And I want to be a part of that. And I want to be included. And I want to feel like I'm in. And man, everybody else is having a drink. I want to have a drink. And he sees that all of this is into worship to a different God. And Daniel goes, it's not so much the food that I'm denying, but it's the thing that's going up to a different God that I'm denying. And he says, I want to be totally separate to show God, you're the one thing that I need. You're the one thing that I'm locked in on. You're the one thing that I seek. You're the one thing that I'm after here. And so Daniel resolved, my life will not have mixture. I will not be a man with mixture. I will be one that's consecrated before the Lord. Verse 9, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, he said, I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and your drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. You see, the wisdom of this world says, you will look worse than the others if you separate yourself from the king's delicacies. You will look worse if you don't talk like everybody else at your work. You will look worse if you don't spend your money the way that everybody else does. You will look worse. You just don't fit, man. Your life just looks weird if you act like this. And we kind of need you to be involved with this, with the show here. We kind of just like conquered your nation, and we need you to like follow in step here. And he said, I'm afraid. So the official told Daniel, this is verse 10, why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The reality is that this wisdom is backed up by facts. The facts are we need food, don't we? We need food to survive. God made our bodies dependent upon food to nourish us. But we don't only live by facts. We also live by faith. And we say, even though there's legitimate things that I absolutely need to have in order to sustain my life, by faith, I'm going to say, Jesus, you're the bread. You're the cup. You're the one thing that will sustain me. So more than I need this food, I'm going to say, Jesus, I need you. And more than I'm not a doctor, nor am I going to act like one. But I'm going to ask for some of you that maybe you've got some health things going on, and I'm going to say, by faith, can we start dipping our toe in the water of fasting and saying, Jesus, I know that I'm supposed to have whatever it is as it comes to my food, but by faith, I just want to kind of dip my toe in the water and see if you will meet me here as I push back some food and believe God for a breakthrough. It's tough to wrestle between the facts and the faith. Facts say I need food to survive, but faith says, God, you will cause a breakthrough here. Parents, I want to encourage you to lead your children in this. What are some things that your kids need to fast? Maybe they fast one meal a day, saying, hey, kids, we're just going to go without, and we're just going to push back, and we're going to feel that little growl in our bellies. Oh, we're going to feel it, and we're going to say, Jesus, I want you. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness the same way that I'm hungering after some Doritos. I want to hunger after you, Jesus. Maybe it's fasting and pushing away some of the comforts. And you're saying, hey guys, for 10 days, we're going to go no video games. Parents, I will pray for you if you do that. There will be absolute anarchy going on in your house. I mean, it'll be like a rebellion. No cell phones. We're going to put away the iPads. And instead, during this time, we're going to pray. We're going to open up the scriptures. We're going to read the word of God as a family. We're going to gather around the dinner table. And we're not all going to be staring at screens. We're actually going to look at each other. And we're going to be the family of God that's going to rally around together. Parents, I want to encourage you to lead your children into a fasted lifestyle. That it's not that this relationship with Jesus is more than just church attendance or going to VBS once a year. This is an all-out, full of life commitment, saying, Jesus, we will do this. I remember growing up in our house, I don't know how the water pump and the water heater and all this worked, but the shower was somehow connected to the toilet. All right? And so while we're taking showers, anybody else know this? You're taking a shower upstairs, and somebody downstairs flushes the toilet. And all of a sudden, that water is so cold. You're like, whoa! It is just like you're freezing. It is a flood of cold water. Or it would also happen the opposite way. It would be screaming hot. And you're like, whoa! And you're like burning yourself. And it was like, somebody tell me you're going to flush the toilet. Can't you wait 3 more minutes? I mean, if there was anything we argued about in our house, it's you'd never flush the toilet while someone's taking a shower. Just common decency, right? I mean, just respect for the person that's totally caught off guard. And maybe for some, you're like, man, I was caught off guard this morning, dude, because I totally could have gone for another hour of sleep if I noticed you were going to be talking about fasting. And especially for parents introducing this to your children, ramp up slowly and say, kids, you're in the shower, I'm about to flush the toilet, okay? You're about to have a freak out moment, but we're going to go one day, and maybe it's no screens. Kids, we're going to go one meal. And so your last meal that you have at school, we're going to go the rest of the night, and then I'll feed you breakfast the next morning. We're gonna fast dinner, and during dinner, we're going to gather around the kitchen table, and we're just going to pursue Jesus. Whatever those things are, I want a church family that's moving into these spiritual disciplined lives. I remember even as a young parent, we would do this with our kids, and we would hold off a bottle even just for 15 or 20 minutes. It's not child abuse. I'm just trying to say, child, you don't always get every stinking thing that you want when you want it. And we're just going to start putting this pace into your spirit and into your life, and this is who we are. So we're going to hold off, and we're going to fast for the next 15 or 20 minutes. And then we would do it for another hour. Or maybe as they got older, you don't get that meal right now. We're going to fast for the next 2 hours and just begin to buffet our bodies. And as the Apostle Paul would say, he goes, I beat my body and I make it my slave until I bring it into submission. Fasting really is about maximum self-control. I will control myself. My hungers do not control me. I'm not some animalistic, I can't control my hungers. No, I'm in control. I'm in charge of my hunger levels. He goes on here in verse 11. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that as the other young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this. He tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took them away from their choice food and from the wine that they were given to drink, and they gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave breakthroughs of knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. He just began to open up their minds. Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. How many of you, it seems like you have a little bit more clarity the less that you eat? No one. Okay. You're like, man, I get really good after a sandwich. Just give me a sandwich, life gets really good. I've noticed that I get more clear the less that I eat. The more that I eat, I want to take a nap by 2 p.m. I'm like, man, I am out, I'm done, I've had too much rice, especially noodles. Oh my gosh, I just want to like spoon a bowl of noodles and just go to bed in the afternoon. I notice that the less that I eat, the more clear, the more energy that I have. Daniel becomes to get really, really clear. He starts to understand things. Books, it says that wisdom and knowledge and literature begins to open up to him. He then begins to see visions, and he gets open visions from heaven and from God. He gets mental clarity. Even while he sleeps, it says that he's getting dreams from God. Could anybody go for a little bit better sleep at night? My goodness. I either need a better pillow or a larger bladder or something, because I wake up all of the time and I can so often point back to a very practical thing of my diet, and it's just sloppy and it's late, or it's just not sharp, and I live according to what I want rather than to what's really going to fuel me to live a good life. And so Daniel starts to push back food, and it gets really clear. It says that he is sharper than all of the other men, and he's better nourished after this. In verse 18, at the end of this time that was set by the king to bring them into his service, The chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them, and they found none were equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered into the king's service, and every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. You know, it really does come down to this, making some choices that are going to set you apart. Making some choices that are going to say, God, more than anything else that this world has to offer, I want to launch into this new year seeking you, that you really would become my one thing. You do get to choose the life that you lead. You do get to choose whether you want to watch mindless television every night. You really do get to choose how much time you spend on your phone or those apps. You really do get to choose how much time you spend in the Word and reading. You really do get to choose what goes into your mouth and the disciplines that it takes in order to say, man, I want to make sure that I'm in charge of my life. I am in control of this. I'm so sorry that we're stepping on anybody's toes. But I really believe that this is a new year to say, Jesus, I want you more than anything else. I need a breakthrough. Maybe as you're entering into this time of prayer and fasting, you bring some pretty heavy stuff before the Lord. You bring your marriage. You're saying, Jesus, I am fasting more than I want a sandwich. I want a healthy home and a loving marriage that's full of romance and thrill again. Maybe you're bringing your business before the Lord and you're like, God, I don't know what to do here. Man, I am scratching my head. I'm freaking out a little bit. But God, more than I need a sandwich, I need a breakthrough. And so, Jesus, I'm bringing this before you. And so I'm going to fast and pray and seek your face. Maybe you're bringing a child that's far from God and they are so far away, but you're saying, Jesus, if there's anything that can move the heart of God, I want to just pray and fast that I would move your heart, that you would just rally my family and put a fire inside of my children, they would love you. Maybe it's a healing. We're going to dive into this next week, that sometimes supernatural healings and breakthrough only come through prayer and fasting. And so this morning it might be very practical. To next week is going to get, man, really supernatural, the power of prayer and fasting. This list was given to you this week in case you need to do some grocery shopping. I recommend Horner's to do your grocery shopping. I'm not lying, am I, Verlin? To get what you need, and it's vegetables, it's fruits, it's eating clean from the earth and saying all of this other stuff, Jesus, I want nothing else more than I want you, is where we're at. And so as we come into next week on the 8th, next Sunday, we're going to talk one more time about prayer and about fasting. That following Monday, January 9th, we kick off our fast for 10 days. The 9th at 6 a.m. we'll be here to pray for those 10 consecutive days. And church family, jump in this with me. Let's start our new year by saying, Jesus, I'm all in. And I want to have great self-discipline this year and see if God would not do something amazing in my life. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close in prayer? Greg had to scoot, and so whenever I close in prayer, we'll just have some music playing up there and we'll be dismissed and ready to go. And we'll go from here. Jesus, we just honor you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you're calling a church family to disciplines, that you're calling us to push back some of the things of this world and say that you're the one thing that we're after, that you're the one thing that we seek. And Lord, we ask you that breakthroughs would come as we seek your face. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.